Donalana Kitchen talks about food. Donalana Kitchen talks recipes. Donalana Kitchen talks about lots of other things on community radio. Welcome to the Donalana Kitchen. I'm Lana Noctigal.
And I'm Donna Prisgintas.
Happy New Year. Hope all your holidays were merry and bright.
And we're not quite finished with the holidays.
No.
Today is the 12th day of Christmas.
This is January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. Here we go with a brand new year. But Donna's been counting down the 12 days and giving us some traditions and things to celebrate for marking the end of the Christmas season. This is the day, January 6th, is the day we remember the visit of the three wise
the
guys.
Feast of the Epiphany.
Yeah, three magi's, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. But also other things are going on. We also take time now to welcome a generous underwriter to our KHOI family. We appreciate supports from all kinds of people. And here's one, brand new underwriter for this station. Support for Donalana Kitchen comes from Wheatsfield Co-op, your full-service natural foods grocery in Ames. Community-owned, community-focused since 1974. It's open daily 7 to 9, located downtown at 413 Northwestern, just off Main Street in Ames. Everyone can shop at Wheatsfield Co-op. Holiday gatherings of many kinds happen this time of year. Today we have some special guests to talk about celebrating in style. Elizabeth Bersoni and Alessandro Andreoni are here, and Ursula Rudenberg, who happened to enjoy a really fine, fine New Year's Eve gathering.
Okay, so Ursula came in and told me right after New Year's Eve that she'd had a marvelous experience at Plus 39. Ursula, tell me on air what you told me.
Well, Mr. Tom Beale and I decided to go out together on New Year's Eve and get to know each other a little bit better. We wanted an environment we would feel very festive and comfortable on New Year's Eve. And so we decided, let's try Plus 39. What's going on there on New Year's Eve? So we went up there, and every table was full. So we sat at the bar and had a lovely drink, and we noticed that it seemed that a banquet was in session. I'm not completely sure about that, but it seemed that way. And so the bartender was very, very nice. He treated us just as graciously as everybody else, even though we were kind of on the side.
You kind of came late.
We came late, yes. And obviously a banquet was in full swing already. And so we asked the bartender, is this one party or is this a whole lot of different parties? And he said, well, a lot of these people are regulars at Plus 39, and they reserve tables on New Year's Eve. And there was a band playing. There was a horn section playing. And there were fabulous dancers.
Fun.
And
what kind of dancing?
What I saw was a kind of hip-hop version of salsa. Very, very fast salsa. I've been living in New York for 30 years, and I have not seen salsa perform that fast, even
hip
in New
salsa.
York.
Okay.
And also a kind of hip-hop belly dancing couple as well.
Belly dancing. Oh, my.
And so I was amazed. I asked the bartender, where are these people from? And he said they were Iowa State students.
Great.
Very impressive.
Really
very beautiful.
Local talent.
Local talent. And the staff was obviously also having a great time and participating in the festivities. And then right before midnight, the chef came out and announced the dessert. And we were given the dessert as well as all the banqueters.
Restaurant party. Everybody included.
Everybody was given. We didn't actually have to pay anything for the dessert. They just brought it to us. And the dessert was, I don't know the name of this, but it was a brownie.
Oh, it says here the dulce was a bacon brownie with bourbon, vanilla, gelato, and chocolate sauce. Yum.
Incredible. It looked a little bit like a spaceship because there was a square brownie, which did have bacon in it. Absolutely. It gave it a really rich taste. Mm-hmm. And then sitting on top of this square brownie was this globe that looked kind of like a
the bourbon vanilla gelato.
Looked kind of like a satellite dish or something. It was like this big globe on top of it. Mm-hmm. And it was encased in chocolate, hard chocolate.
Oh.
And so it kind of came, and it looked like this little spaceship vehicle. It was quite large. And then the waiter, and they didn't give us any forks. So we were like, how are we going to eat this thing? And they were like, well, you're not supposed to eat it yet, because then the waiter came and poured hot chocolate over the whole thing.
Ooh.
And it was out of the world. And what was the gelato? What flavor was that?
Bourbon vanilla.
Yeah. We were trying to figure out what that flavor was. It was really very, very good.
Mm-hmm.
It was simply fabulous dessert, I have to say, and looked amazing. And then at midnight, there was a countdown. Everybody stood up, toasted, celebrated. A DJ started to play. The tables were pushed back, and everybody danced. It was
awesome.
Well,
fantastic. This is good. So
it was really fun.
This is Plus 39. Thank you, Ursula, for your description and for telling us about it.
So I'm going to head out, but I have to say they really know how to celebrate up there. Obviously, they were showing everybody a really good time.
Good.
Yeah. Really enjoyed it.
So that's our on-the-spot reporter with New Year's Eve report from Plus 39.
So when Ursula told me about this, I thought, you know, we should invite Elisabetta and Alessandra to come and talk on the show a little bit about, first of all, their restaurant. And I have to say congratulations to the two of you for your first year in Ames. Say hello, Elisabetta.
Thank you. Hello. I'm very pleased to be here.
Hi, I'm Alessandro. Thank you for inviting us.
So one of the things that I, first of all, I have to say the restaurant is very beautiful. It's full of light, and it's just a very pleasant place to be in. And compared to some of the darkness that has been, you know, restaurants went through this period of being kind of cozy and dark and intimate.
There too. Ferns.
Yeah, and lots of ferns and velvet
things. We're through with that.
And, you know, we're really not doing that anymore. And Plus 39 is, I would say, a very good example of a well-designed restaurant in Ames, a very modern, contemporary, delightful, inviting.
Thank you. We try to bring from Italy the authentic Italian style and the authentic Italian kitchen. So also the place for us was important to be authentic and with the Italian style. So the designer, the interior designer, and the material and every kind of table and everything, we try to use our style.
It's very elegant feeling without being stuffy at all. It's just beautiful.
Thank you.
And so when you walk in there, you really feel very welcomed. And what Ursula had reported to me is the kind of experience that you have there. I found it very interesting because in America, currently, we're all fascinated with the chef, the chef, the chef, and the food, the food, the food. And, of course, that's very important. That's what you're going to the restaurant for. But you're also going for an experience because you can have good food at home, you know. We've encouraged you a lot on this radio show to do these things. So at least when I go out, I want to go – I mean, a lot of times I'm interested in maybe a food I haven't thought of or a challenge in the culinary world, but really I'm going for the experience of sitting down at the table, being served,
exactly,
enjoying, you know, that kind of entertained feeling.
Yes, of course. And for us it's very important to for us dinner usually is a time to spend with family or friend or to socialize with each other because we're running all the day, and so for us dinner is time to stay on table and take a glass of wine and waiting food and fresh food. And so yes, we hope to have a good restaurant also, not for food, but also for spend a good time in the restaurant.
Well, I have a many, many year history of, you know, restaurants and European restaurants and French restaurants and also in Los Angeles. And I kind of grew up with the tradition outside of, I mean, once I was a young adult, of the importance of the restaurateur, the person who owns the restaurant, being on the floor, knowing the people who come in. And I was telling Beta that when I was in my 20s and 30s and lived in Los Angeles, it was kind of the beginning of the really, really lovely restaurants there. And the father of my son, who is French, was the builder of one of the sort of first really important French restaurant. And it was run by a man named Patrick Terrel, who was from an old, old Parisian restaurant family, the Tour d'Argent. And of course, you know, the young fellows were escaping Paris to live on the beach in Los Angeles, and they had to have their own restaurant there. So what I learned from Patrick Terrel was on the floor. I was telling Bette about this. First of all, in France, as I'm sure in Italy, being a waiter is an absolute, it's a profession. Being trained, it's not like just a job that you take while you're making money to go to college or something like that. Mm-hmm. So service is very, very important.
Yes.
And then the other thing is, I was telling her the story about on the floor of the restaurant, which was about the size of Plus 39. Not huge, but very nice size. It's the chef in the kitchen at the time was Wolfgang Puck, who has now become very, very well known as one of the first, biggest, best. And Wolf is about my age, in his mid to late 60s. And, you know, so he's not a young buck anymore, but he's a very successful chef and, of course, restaurateur. But at the time, he was just the chef in the restaurant. So on the floor, Patrick was always on the floor, and he had two other very charming, handsome Frenchmen. So you come on the floor and there are always three people. They're not waiters. They're not bartenders. They're not anything there except to socialize, make you feel comfortable, say, oh, and how are you and how are your children and what's going on? And this restaurant was like, oh, it had this entryway that you came in. And the old stories were that Orson Welles would come in. And Orson loved to eat, and he was so big and fat, and he would drink so much that by the time he left the restaurant, he'd be knocking the statues and the plants over as he left. And there were other tricks as a restaurateur. Oh, no problem, Orson. You know, I mean, it's just part of doing business, because having Orson Welles there was an important part of the restaurant scene. And then Patrick would have, like, the valet parking, be sure to light up all the Bentleys in the front row. So, you know, I mean, what I liked about hearing this story from Ursula for you creating the event on New Year's Eve was we have some restaurateurs in town, people who are there in their business all the time, and they're there to make you feel welcome, to make sure that everything is a primo experience. And so tell us how you do that.
First off, I have a question. What can you explain the name? What is Plus 39?
Oh, that is a good question.
The Plus 39 is the code for call America, from America to Italy. Before they put the number, we need to put Plus 39. Yes,
yeah.
The telephone code for the
to call Italy from here.
Yes.
So now we know, and you've taken that idea of calling Italy, and you've called it right up into Ames. Very good. I'm glad you did.
Yeah.
Well, and I, you know, every time I've been there, either Alessandra or Elisabetta has always been on the floor.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though I don't know you well, I'm always made to feel welcome, and I think that's important. It must be rather hectic for you guys, but
I think as one of the most important things in one restaurant, especially in the Italian restaurant, for the our culture and the our story, is to stay in the restaurant during the time for dinner,
absolutely,
for lunch,
absolutely.
Because I think it's only the owner, only when the restaurant is yours, you have the passion, you see everything, what's happening in the restaurant. When one table you have one problem, and they don't like the food, because food is not easy to prepare, and the guests, the people, they have everybody, they have different testing, it's possible one plate, one pasta, I like this pasta, you don't like the same pasta. But this is normal in the restaurant, and this is important for me and Beta to stay in the restaurant in the most important time, the lunch time, dinner time, for control the table, for go around with the you talk about the tour, for see the restaurant, the people, for see the our cantina, the our mm-hmm. market, and for control the tables, for control. All the serving, the food is coming in time, the temperature, the testing is good. Because if it's not good, I know immediately. I see the face when the people, they eat the first bit, I see immediately if they like or not. If you don't like, I go immediately. My work is something is wrong, you don't like, we change.
He's here to make sure that you're pleased.
Yeah. Yeah. This is important.
And also it's important to follow the table because our clients sometimes they don't know exactly what they are eating, and so Alessandro go on the table for explain how we cook, where this food come from, if it's from South Italy, North Italy, and so people like and they really appreciate when we are on table because
the people they like my English.
They like your charms, both of you.
Beta, you were talking with me earlier about the timing of the meal, the taking time. So talk about that.
Yes. Sometimes it's hard for us to explain to our client that we prepare food fresh.
Right. It's not fast food.
No, it's not fast food. Correct. And so we need time that our chef and the people that work in the kitchen made everything fresh at the moment. So this is need time. And so when you order your food, usually you have to waiting 20, 15 minutes before yes. eat the first place. This is because, we need time to prepare fresh.
Depend on how many people we have in the restaurant.
Also.
Sure, Friday and Saturday. This is the
lunch is a bit faster. I have to.
Sure. Yeah.
Don't worry about lunch, folks. You can get in there and get out and have
absolutely.
A really good panini. Yeah. So
yes, no, but usually in 1 hour you can eat. So also in the mm-hmm. dinner time. Mm-hmm. But what lunch, we like yeah. it's also that people stay on table because they socialize and they stay and they drink a glass of wine, and this is come from our culture.
Relax. Slow down.
Yes. This is it's our goal that people come not only for good food but also for appreciate our atmosphere and our culture. So sometimes now we have many clients that come back and they want to stay with me and Ale for a glass of wine or for dessert. And so this is very nice because they are friends right now, not mm-hmm. only clients. Mm-hmm. And so this is very important for us.
And I think in Ames, it's, we are kind of a small town. And so it's really lovely to have this attitude in the restaurant.
Mm, thank you.
And so as Italians, you fit very well into the Midwest.
Yeah, thank you.
We like to eat, too. And if you can slow us down a little bit, more power to you.
And introduce us to eating ideas and tastes that maybe we don't know about. It's really, really a pleasure and,
Yeah, talk about your menu a little bit. It's divided up into different sections.
Yes, we have antipastis like a starter. So it's not a small, but plates like a vegetable or some salumi, authentic, imported from Italy, like prosciutto, salami, and cheese. And after we have soup and salad. And the first place is pasta or rice, and so we have lasagne, authentic Italian lasagne, bolognese pasta, and carbonara, and two, three different kind of risotto, like amarone wine risotto and the mushroom risotto. And after we have the second plate, we call second plate meat and fish. So we have tagliata, we have a stick, we have a pollo cacciatora.
Steak, she means.
Yes.
It's not a stick, folks. It's no, a steak steaks. That you'll be getting.
Sorry.
Right.
Yes.
Isn't she cute?
Thank you. I'm sorry. And we have a chicken. We have a spezzatino. It's a typical place from Italy with polenta now because we change our menu every season. And after we have... dessert and gelato. Yeah. And gelato. Yeah, we made gelato. This is our menu.
Yes, it's very completely menu. We touch everything place of... we start from north of Italy. We go in the south of Italy. We have meat and fish. It's a very completely menu. This is the Italian menu because the people in Italy, when I go in the restaurant, we want to eat different. Different, they want
different
to eat.
Regions.
No, yes, they want to eat different, and they don't want to eat the same plate they eat in the house. this is the why we have a lot of course because we have more 40 course in our menu, and we touch all Italy. And the important is we have. Fish in everything in the starter we have fish in the first plate we have fish in the second we have fish and this is important because the people is when you go outside when you go in the restaurant they possible to eat strange different plate not when they when not when we cook in the in at home this is the Italian restaurant.
Well, you certainly do a good job. And I have to say, I also enjoy, they of course have wonderful coffee and espresso. And I love going in just for a cup of coffee in the morning with a little
cornetti.
A cornetti,
yes.
Thank you. Yes, it's very like, you know, in the French Italian, you stand at the bar and you drink your croissant and cafe au lait or something like that. So in the Italian tradition, we have a good opportunity to do that. And I also often will stop in for a gelato.
Yes.
Authentic gelato.
Absolutely. So they kind of curated this whole program on New Year's Eve with a wonderful prefix menu and the entertainment and the whole conviviality of kind of a group experience. And I think everybody should know that we have some fine restaurateurs in town.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Oh, wonderful. Good. I've eaten there at Plus 39, and it's lovely, and I will be back, I promise. Thank you. We're back. This is Donna Lana Kitchen. This is KHOI 89.1 FM. We are community radio for the heart of Iowa. Coming to you from the beautiful studios on Douglas Avenue in downtown Ames. You can support this radio station. A lot of people have. A lot more still have to. We get by with your money, your good thoughts, and your support. If you would like to participate in producing radio, this is your chance. Come on down here and meet us. It's really fun to work on the radio and get to know your neighbors by talking to them about whatever their passion is. Visit our website, khoifm.org. You can contact us with our email address, khoiradio@gmail.com. And if you want to talk to Donna Lana Kitchen, put Donna Lana Kitchen or DLK in the headline there and let us know. Let us know what you think about food. Who doesn't like Italian food? That's nice. That's nice.
So we've been talking with Elisabetta Barasone and Alessandro Andreo. Say it for me. Say your names properly.
Alessandro Andreoni.
Andreoni. And
Elisabetta Barison.
Oh, that's so good. It's so beautiful. It just rolls off their tongues, of course. So they are from Plus 39, and Elisabetta was just telling me that we've been talking about the New Year's celebration, and she was just telling me that they're going to continue having every other month a sort of specific party event.
Yes.
And we will announce them on the show. So tell us about the next one. It's in February.
Yes, we would like to make another big party because in the new year we see that people have very fun.
We like to party.
Yes. And, you know,
thought?
Yes, everybody dancing still at 4 o'clock in the night. And so for us it was very, very fun and then such a very good success. And so
success.
Okay, I got it. And so we would like to do the party every 2 months, every 3 months, and I would like for the new year get inspiration from a movie or a song or one.
So your next party is going to be a Great Gatsby theme.
Yes, okay. Yes. I would like that people wearing the dress.
Oh, the costumes.
Yes, and the music. And
can we have a comedy dell'arte one sometime?
What is comedy? This is Iowa. What is comedy dell'arte?
Oh, it's the Italian tradition. You know, you wear the mask.
Yes, yes, exactly. Yes, that. So we want to repeat a big party in February.
Oh, good.
Yes.
Okay, so we'll announce it so you all can make your reservations. They do take reservations.
Yes, of course.
We can all enjoy this wonderful asset in our community. So,
oh, thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for coming and enjoying. We've enjoyed the time we've had with you here. This is good. Also, on today's program, Donna was going to talk more about the 12th days of Christmas.
Oh, right. We are on the last day of Christmas, the Feast of the Epiphany. So typically, of course, if you haven't already done it, this is the day to take down all of the decorations, and they are ceremonially consigned to the fire. Well, because it used to be, you know, lots of evergreen boughs and, you know, that kind of thing.
I think there would be a lot of plastic burning, so
yeah,
you probably don't want to do that now.
Right now, out in the snow, I see a lot of denuded Christmas trees kind of launched out into people's lawns. So that fills it. And I know in France and maybe in Italy, do you have a Three Kings Day cake? Do you have a cake? Like in France, they have a king's cake, and somewhere in the middle of the cake is a little figurine, and whoever gets the figurine in their place is the king for the evening and wears a crown. This is for the 12th night, you know, because the Magi came.
The wise men with their gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And I was actually at a party once, and I didn't know what it was, but there was this cake served, and it was lovely, and they said it was a king's cake. And I bit down on the little bebé, and so I got to be the king for the evening. I had no idea what was going on.
You have to not crack a tooth on that or something.
And actually, this was a small little little Christ child.
Yeah,
which is kind of a strange thing to be in a cake, but there it was. There it was. So you got to watch out for eating those king's
cakes. So this tonight would be the last day of Christmas to celebrate. I have to say, one year I did a game. We had a party on the 12th night, and it's called Snapdragon. And so you take a shallow plate, like a pie pan or something that's oven proof, and you pour in some brandy, and then you put in the if you have 20 people, you put in 25 raisins or something. Then you light the pan on fire, and you go around, and everybody has to grab a raisin out of the fire. And it's really quite fun because you're going, oh, it's fire, it's fire. But, you know, the brandy burns at such a low temperature, it's really no problem. But it's a fun game for the family and the children, and it's called Snapdragon.
I didn't know what that was called. I thought it was called maybe, like, burning raisins or a dare or something.
Well, you can call it whatever you want, but it really is kind of a fun thing to do. And that's a tradition on the 12th night. And then it's the end of the Christmas season is today, and on we go with the New Year. So
after we get all of this celebrating done, and celebrating also the fact that we had the first beautiful snowfall last night after all the dire...
Now it feels like Christmas,
yes,
doesn't
after
it?
After all the dire predictions of a big storm, we had a big dump of really nice white stuff. It's time to take a breath from all this snatching of burning raisins and running around with your Christmas tree. It's
well,
nice
you know what
to,
I have to do? I'm going to dig out my cellar door and go down, and it makes me want to get out the beef bones and make a big stock, and then I have a whole pail of parsnips that are calling to me to go, oh, I want a pureed parsnip soup with the beef stock, and it's winter food time. Yes!
It's time to slow down. I have a poem here to share, and we have to share it today because the poem is called The 6th of January, and it has to do with slowing down, enjoying the weather. The 6th of January by David Budbill. The cat sits on the back of the sofa, looking out the window through the softly falling snow at the last bit of gray light. I can't say the sun is going down. We haven't seen the sun for 2 months. Who cares? I'm sitting in the blue chair, listening to the stillness, the only sound, the occasional gurgle of tea coming out of the pot into the cup. How can this be? Such calm, such peace, such solitude in this world of woe. So think of this soft snow coming down. That was a poem by David Budbill from a collection called Good Poems by Garrison Keillor, a right handy book to have. A poem called The 6th of January.
So, winter foods, soups, stews, all of that sort of thing. And I'm thinking about those beef bones that I have in the freezer. So, do you guys have a dish like, well, ossobuco?
Yes, we have ossobuco, and we had in our menu the last spring. Yes.
No, yeah.
And do you have other, do you homemade your beef stock?
Yeah.
Yes, our chef.
Bravo,
made, yes.
Bravo. Okay, that's very important. And do you serve any dishes with marrow bones, or is that not Italian? I know the French do.
No.
So only ossobuco.
Yes, only ossobuco, yeah.
Oh, yum. Are you going to do it again soon?
Sure.
Yes,
oh,
absolutely.
Good.
Oh, good.
Sure. The next menu we have again...
Ossobuco.
Ossobuco.
Okay, ossobuco is the veal shank cut into a slice about, an inch to an inch and a half thick, and you slow cook it till the meat is really braised and falling off, and then in the middle of the bone is that lovely, delicious piece of bone marrow, and the fats from it are, like these beef bones I have down in my freezer, they're all grass-fed beef. And so the fat coming off of it and the marrow itself is so, so delicious.
Yes,
and it's actually, beef marrow is very good for you. I know in some native traditions, they save the beef marrow for the elderly people because it's so nourishing.
Yeah.
So good bones. Good bones. There we go. So we'll all have to get some ossobuco going.
Okay.
What goes into ossobuco besides the stock? Is there like
vegetables?
Well,
it's
a slow braise.
I don't want to say noodles. Noodles probably isn't the word, but
I mean,
pasta.
It's like any other braised beef dish. You can season it many, 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 many ways. What is your preference?
For ossobuco, the normal, the old recipes, we cook in with some vegetables and some spice, and we cook for many hours.
So, but what are the spices?
Yeah, some secret, some...
We don't have secrets here. Or maybe I'm silly. I give away all my recipes because I want people to be able to either do it themselves or really appreciate what they're having.
Yes, we have natural vegetable,
onion,
garlic, carrots, some celery.
And then you probably cook it with maybe a little oregano, salt, pepper.
Yes, of course. Pepper and aromi. Aromi, you call aromi? Like a salt.
Mixed herbs.
Yes, mixed herbs.
Like in French, it would be fine herb.
Exactly, fine herbs. And And usually you eat ossobuco with a risotto alla milanese.
Tell us what's in your risotto milanese.
It's risotto with saffron.
Pretty color.
Yes.
Okay.
So it's a yellow risotto with a white wine. You cook with a white wine. Mm-hmm. And after, in the end, you put the saffron and the butter. And
of course, risotto has stock in it as well.
Yes. And
to make it really rich.
Yes. And you usually eat with ossobuco. And you know ossobuco, what he mean?
No.
Is a bone with hole.
A bone.
Osso is bone.
Bone.
And buco is a wall.
Hole.
Hole.
Now,
but you understand.
A bone with a hole. Of course.
Like a donut. Oh, no, not like a donut. No.
Okay. Well, sometimes they're kind of cut like that. Yeah.
Well, I figured out the osso that was bone, mm-hmm. but I didn't know what the buco. I thought that maybe meant big. What do I know? I live in Iowa, but I try, and I'm looking forward to trying some new stuff here. This is dandy. You're listening to KHOI, Community Radio for the Heart of Iowa. You're listening to the Dinalana Kitchen, and we're talking to the fine folks from...
Plus 39.
Yes.
Out in the, what's that part of town called?
Somerset.
Somerset.
It's north of Ames. You can find it. Just go north. Find it there.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll be listening to a little bit of music. A treat for our ears. Welcome back. This is the Donna Lana Kitchen. You've been listening to the music of Peter Ostrushko. Remember, might want to remember him from when Prairie Home Companion came to us from St. Paul for so many years. He's a great mandolin player, great fiddle player. And he wrote that tune, thinking of cold weather. That's called Bemidji Blues. Bemidji Blues. Bemidji, way up there. It's a lot even colder than it is here in Iowa. And in his liner notes, he says he wrote this tune on the road and was down south when he wrote it, so he was thinking of blues, but he didn't finish it until he got home back into Minnesota. But he figured, well, people have the blues up in Minnesota, too, so that's the Bemidji Blues.
Well, we're probably not going to have the blues today because it's so white and bright out. Sometimes the sun is peeked out for a few minutes either. It's always exciting, the first real major snowfall.
And a snowfall that we could actually shovel. It wasn't one of these heavy, awful things.
It's light and fluffy.
I had fun out there. I was throwing things over the dog, and we had our nice man came and plowed out our farmyard and our plowed out our lane.
I'm not plowed out yet. I had to put my boots on and walk to the station.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Mark, for doing that. That's great. And he had sort of an interesting definition of where our driveway went. So it's an interesting path, not necessarily on where I usually drive, but I got out just fine. So I hope everybody drives carefully out there because it's still slippery. Be careful.
I'm going to get out my kick sled. Have you seen my kick sled?
Oh, it looks like a Christmas card. It's so pretty.
It kind of is. It's a Swedish tradition, or at least Norwegian, and it has long runners, and it has a little seat if you want to sit and push somebody, but I never use that. So what you do is it's got handles, and it's got these long blades. So you stand on the one blade, and you scoot with the other foot, and you can change feet. I got it because I was going to take up cross-country skiing again, and then I broke my leg, and I went, oh, no, I don't think this is a good idea. But when I saw the kick sled, it's like an old lady version of cross-country skiing, and when the roads are like this with a nice pack on it and kind of icy, you can cruise all over downtown on the kick sled.
I've seen that, and I think it's a wonderful idea because it's very sturdy. It's like having a dog sled without the dog, sort of.
Exactly. And I'll tell you, I've been tempted to see if I could figure out a way to harness my dogs onto the kick sled.
Sounds like another broken leg coming on there. Also, handy little thing, that seat. It may be for another person, but I think it's for your purse. That's why it
works. Packages when you go to the store.
Yeah. We're talking about soup, warm things. Talk about making soup stock.
Well, it's these beef bones that are calling to me from the freezer. I'm going to have to get them out. So what I do is first I put them all on a baking pan, like a flat sheet pan, and heat the oven really hot, like about 500 degrees.
Cook them beforehand.
Well, you always roast your beef bones before you put them in the stock pot. And with these bones in particular, I actually roast them hot enough to cook the marrow, so I spoon the marrow out and eat them. So you have one meal first that way. Then you throw them all in the pot and boil, light simmer. I just usually throw in a couple of bay leaves. No big deal, just the bones and the bay leaves and water. And then I will cook them at a low simmer for as much as 12 hours, and you get a really, really rich stock because the minerals will be – and some people actually put a little vinegar in it too just to leach more minerals out of the bones. Now, you don't want it to taste vinegary, but just, you know, like
that
a tablespoon
little bit of acid
for a big pot. Yeah, and you end up with a very rich stock because all the collagen, you know, comes out of the bones that way, and the flavoring is sublime, and that's the basis for any good winter soup that you want.
Oh, wonderful. That sounds really good. So
it's really easy to do. You just put it on and forget it, basically.
Good idea.
Or you could cook the bones in a crock pot, too. Sometimes I cook them overnight.
I had good luck with a crock pot recently. Again, things were calling to me from my freezer. I had a package. I don't know where I got it, but I know. Oh, I know. It was friends had a wedding, and they had a roast pig, and there was
packages of pork left over, and there was pork soup bone, it said.
Ooh.
And so I unwrapped that. It looked like parts of what used to be the ribs. It's mm-hmm. kind of, yeah. But not enough really to make ribs out of, but it had lots of good stuff on it. And, oh, it must be just an instinctual thing. I didn't know I was doing the right thing, but I did sauté those first. So it was a little,
browned the bits a little, yeah.
Yep, and put them in a crock pot. And I have been, in my garden this year, I grew dry beans. And so the day before, I soaked and soaked and soaked two kinds of beans that I had grown and saved. Very nice to have that. So I had two kinds of dried beans, and I put in lots of onions, which I sautéed too, and cooked and cooked and cooked and cooked. And that was lovely. So I have homemade pork and beans, and it tastes a whole lot different than the pork and beans you get when you open a can.
Oh, good heavens, yes.
It's a whole different thing.
Uh-huh.
Also because I cooked it so long, because I want to make sure everything was done, of course. And I also added a little bit of molasses and a little bit of dried mustard. Oh, and I had, from my garden, I had a little bit of epazote to add, too.
So, oh, yes.
Oh, it makes the beans more digestible, this little green herb. And I throw lots of things in, a little bit of some hot peppers
what,
that
what
I grow.
What kind of beans did you use, Lana?
I had some cranberry beans, mm-hmm. which are pretty easy to find in any seed catalog. Oh, seed catalogs are coming in now, so start thinking about the garden. I had cranberry beans and a bean variety from Seed Savers Exchange called Tiger Eye Beans, which are the prettiest golden color with a little fleck of black in it. It's just so those two kinds, and they
cook down well. And you grew these yourself?
You can grow beans yourself. You just stick them in the ground and they come up. Both of these are bush beans. So,
And I have to say, the times that I've eaten fresh, I mean, dried, but, you know, within that growing season, like, you probably harvested them in August or September, right? So, and they've dried, and they've only been sitting on the shelf for a few months.
Right,
and
they
really do have a different taste than something that you purchase that could be several years old.
Right. It's not just a vehicle for the sauce. They really do have a lovely taste.
Dried beans are a bit like herbs. While they will stay on the shelf for years and years and years and years, they do deteriorate and they do become harder, mm-hmm. and you have to cook them longer, mm-hmm. and they do lose some flavor. So buying your beans as fresh as you can is important, and also making sure that you're kind of cycling through and, you know, not keeping older beans, kind of keep your mm-hmm. your pantry in order so you know when you got what.
Yes, even though of course, the beans are so pretty in jars, but do not put the jars out where the sunlight or the too much light can hit it.
No, keep them in the dark.
Yeah, but beans, they're all so pretty.
I did a bean dish last week.
You did a bean dish.
I did. I took some cannellini beans,
and
which is just a white, it's close to what we would call a navy bean, mm-hmm. I think. But what I put in it that was, you know, I cooked them and cooked them and cooked them with garlic and onions. Then I put in, I think we had talked about this on the show, where it was a preservation method for sage. I had made brown butter sage, and I had a nice big container of that tucked away in the back of the fridge from when the, you know, before the frost when we got the sage. And I had done that by plucking the leaves, putting them into a pan, skillet, really, a thick cast iron skillet with the butter, and you cook them, cook them, cook them, and till they're really almost black. And you don't quite burn it, but they get really crunchy, and then they powder down. And then I had just put the whole mess of that with the butter and everything right into a container, and it was sitting in the fridge. And finally, it was time to pull it out and drop it into the beans, and it is so good.
Sage with beans. That seems like it'd be an awfully good taste. I'm going to have to try
Well,
that.
It's not just sage. It's brown butter sage.
And of course.
Well, because if you buy dried sage and you throw it in the pot of soup, it's not going to be the same as when you've had fresh sage in season and, you know, cooked it up that way.
Ah, good. Another thing that is a good hot food to go with cold weather, to go with all these soups and beans, muffins. Muffins are a good idea. I like making muffins just because
savory
it's
savory muffins.
Savory muffins. I don't put a lot of sugar in it. A basic muffin recipe is just flour, sugar, baking powder, salt, egg,
some sort of melted butter or salad oil and milk. It's kind of like thicker pancakes, sort of. But I never just stay along with that. This is a good time of year to see what's in the back of the refrigerator. I had some leftover squash. I had some leftover nuts that I had ground for Christmas cookies. So anything that looks like it'd be good, you throw in. Some raisins are good. Dates are good. So those basic muffins are the start of a really good meal. And you can have them with your soup. You can have them with your pork and beans. Also, next morning, I'll have a few left over to have with my morning coffee. So you can have your Italian whatever. What was it, Italian thing you had for breakfast? Coffee?
Coronetto.
Coronetto. Now, I have my Iowa muffin there. It's kind of all the same stuff. It's a good way to start the day. That's good. I have another quick poem here. More things about snow.
Oh, I love this poem. This is a good one.
Eskimos supposedly have lots of names for snow. And Lisa Mueller wrote this poem called Not Only the Eskimos. We have only one noun, but as many different kinds. Grainy snow of the Puritans, the soft snow, fat flakes, gorilla snow, which comes by night, rabbinical snow, a permanent skullcap on the high mountains, snow that blows like the Lone Ranger riding hard out of the west, surreal snow in the Dakotas, when you can't find your house, your street, though you're in a dream or a science fiction movie, snow that tastes good to the sun when it licks black tree limbs, leaving only the white stripe, like a skunk. Unbelievable snows, the blizzard that strikes in April, the false snow of Indian summer, the big snow on Mozart's birthday. Paper snow, cut and taped to the inside of grade school windows. The special snow that goes with Christmas, whether it falls or not. The Russian snow we remember along with warmth and the smell of our furs, though we've never traveled to Russia or worn furs. The snowfall between a child and the spacewoman on TV. Snow is an idea of whiteness. Snowdrop, snow goose, snowball bush. The snow in the back of our heads, whiter than white, which has to do with childhood again and again each year.
So I bet there'll be some snow cone making today.
Oh, and whatever else you
and
can do.
And snow angels.
Oh, please fall down and have snow up your collar and down your boots. Come and enjoy it.
I think I'll keep the snow out of my boots, I hope.
We'll go out with another tune here by Peter Ostrushko. This is called The Dayton Cakewalk. You've been listening to The Donna Lana Kitchen with Lana Noctigal.
And Donna Prisgintas.
And special guests from Plus 39, Elisabetta Berasone and Alessandro Andreoni. Pretty good there. And
very
Ursula.
Good.
And Ursula was here, too. We have excellent engineering by Rick Morrison. So enjoy that snow. Check out the khoyfm.org website. Eat good food and enjoy life.